Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Indeed, alleluia. Oh, come, let us worship him. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Alleluia.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise him in the highest.
Praise him, all his angels.
Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens. Praise the name of the Lord.
For he commanded and they were created.
And he established them forever and ever.
He gave them freely and shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth. Mountains and all hills,
fruit trees and all cedars,
beasts and all livestock,
creeping things and flying birds,
kings of the earth and all peoples.
princes and all rulers of the earth,
young men and maidens together,
old men and children,
let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is of earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints.
For the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth and heaven.
Remain standing for the office hymn. If you're using a flow-through, you'll note that two of the stanzas are not there. All of the stanzas are in the hymnal at 569.
Saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat."
But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered a second time from heaven, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Revelation, the 21st chapter. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the book of John, the 16th chapter. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? 'A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me.' And because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Come the first fruits of them that sleep.
Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor through his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Simply put, in today's first reading, those of the apostles and believers' circumcision party at first criticized Peter for going to uncircumcised men and eating with them, presumably food forbidden by the Old Testament ceremonial food laws. But then, Peter's explanation, including the word of God, silenced those of the circumcision party's criticism of Peter and began their praise of God. The word of God that granted repentance that led to life when received by the man named Cornelius and the other Gentiles in Caesarea also settled the conflict over the Gentiles' inclusion in the church. So we can say, as I have themed this sermon, that God's word settles church conflict. Of course, there was really nothing new with the idea that God wanted Gentiles included in his church. For example, through the prophet Isaiah, God had said that the nations of Gentiles would come to Israel's light. And so, holding the 40-day-old Jesus, St. Simeon in the Spirit called Jesus a light for revelation to the Gentiles. The grown-up Jesus identified himself as the light of the world, and he sent his disciples to make disciples of all nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, by teaching them to observe all that he had commanded them. And indeed, the book of Acts records both immediately before today's first reading, Peter's work among the Gentiles, and immediately after today's first reading, Paul's work among the Gentiles. To be sure, in part thanks to passages of God's word such as today's first reading, not to mention a later arguably similar council in Jerusalem that included statements by both Peter and Paul, the inclusion of in God's church of both Jews and Gentiles with or without circumcision is not really a matter of church conflict today. However, at the time of the Reformation, for example, other ceremonies or works were expected for salvation. And on the basis of God's word, the Lutheran reformers were careful to believe, teach, and confess both
that no one could merit salvation by any ceremony or work, and that some ceremonies or works nevertheless should be retained in the church for the sake of such things as good order, the building up of the church, and faithfulness to the Lord's commands. As pastors and people, we believe, teach, and confess both that the canonical scriptures are the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice, and that the Lutheran confessions agree with the one scriptural faith. So we are to conform to scripture and the confessions all that we do, especially the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. Do we know scripture and the confessions well enough in order to conform them, both what we say, but what they say rather, and what they mean, as if there is a difference? Do we retain the ceremonies and such that should be retained for the sake of good order, for the building up of the body of Christ? Do we practice closed communion in faithfulness to the Lord's commands? Do we avoid both a legalism that suggests works righteousness and a freedom that causes people either to sin or to fall from faith? If we do not fail in these ways, then we certainly fail in other ways. By nature, we all are sinful, and so we all sin, and so we all deserve present and eternal punishment. But out of his love, mercy, and grace, God gives to us, as those of the circumcision party described God's giving to the Gentiles, repentance that leads to life. When we turn in sorrow from our sin, trust God to forgive our sin, and want to stop sinning, then God forgives us, our sinful nature, and all our sin, whatever our sin might be. In today's first reading, we heard how an angel reportedly told Cornelius that Peter would declare a message by which Cornelius and all his household would be saved. And indeed, Peter told them how God the Father anointed his son Jesus with the Holy Spirit, how Jesus went about doing good, how the Jews put Jesus to death on the cross, how God the Father raised Jesus on the third day and made him to appear to those who had been chosen as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, how they were commanded to preach to the people, and how everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Those Gentiles received or welcomed that word of God and were baptized and arguably ate together. And so they were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. When we likewise welcome that word of God, then we likewise are saved. We're saved as the Holy Spirit is given to us through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And as the Holy Spirit works faith, that when we believe, then God is gracious to us for Christ's sake. For most people, holy baptism is their entrance into the church. The Holy Spirit uses water and the word no matter someone's age. In the first reading, Cornelius and all his household were baptized and saved. Him, his family with his children, his slaves with their children, and any individuals he employed with their children. So whether we are 8 days old, 8 years old, or 8 decades old, God, for us, works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe the words and promises of God about holy baptism. Thus, the baptismal font can be regarded as what the second reading called the spring of the water of life, from which all who are baptized in some sense drink. For the sake of individual holy absolution, some of those who have been baptized privately confess to their pastors the sins that they know and feel in their heart. And those so absolved are admitted to the Holy Supper, where bread is the body of Christ given for us and wine is the blood of Christ shed for us. And so they give us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. At this rail, despite criticism similar to Peter's that Jesus received during his ministry, Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. God's word and sacraments forgive and transform us who repent. As we will confess in the collect of the day, God makes the minds of his faithful to be of one will. Still, the events of today's first reading did not completely prevent later conflict between the apostles and Jewish and Gentile converts to Christianity, including conflict over the Old Testament ceremonial food laws, as we hear, for example, in Romans. And so, not surprisingly, neither will our transformations completely prevent conflict between pastors and people over other things. But as was the case with the apostles and believers in today's first reading, God's word settles church conflict. We do not expect ecstatic visions or miraculously speaking in languages that have not been learned. But through God's word and the Lutheran confessions based on his word, the Holy Spirit works, as Jesus described in today's third reading, to guide us into all truth. So, we together read and study God's word and the Lutheran confessions. We together preach the gospel and administer the sacraments in keeping with God's word and the Lutheran confessions. We together live in God's forgiveness of sins for when we fail to do so and repent. And as possible, like those of the circumcision party in today's first reading, we let God lead us from unjustly criticizing one another to praising God together. Today's office hymn, for example, implicitly connected our being united in Christ and raising a united song to the triune God. And today's closing hymn will describe our praises, speeding his honor by word and deed to every land and nation. Today's additional psalm calls all creation to praise God together. In humankind's fall into sin, all creation was subjected to futility, and so now groans as in the pain of childbirth, waiting to be set free from its bondage to corruption. But as Jesus in the third reading promises, that sorrow will be forgotten when it turns into joy. God, as we heard in the second reading, makes all things new, including the sky and the ground. As we sang in the psalm, the Lord has raised up a horn of salvation for his people, for praise for all his saints, whether from the people of Israel or from the Gentiles who are near to him. Together, we say, Alleluia, praise the Lord, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Praise you, O God, we acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels.
Against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord,
who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, your infinite love restores to the right way those who err, seeks the scattered, and preserves those whom you have gathered. Of your tender mercy, pour out on your faithful people the grace of unity, that all schisms being ended, your flock may be gathered to the true shepherd of your church, and may serve you in all faithfulness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to you graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord God, our Father, you kept Abraham and Sarah in safety throughout the days of their pilgrimage. You led the children of Israel through the midst of the sea, and by a star you led the wise men to the infant Jesus. Protect and guide those who travel, make their way safe and their homecomings joyful, and bring us all at last to our heavenly home. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Thank you.
4, 5, 6, 7. I think we will stay in the conference room. We've got that's the office area, air conditioned in the air conditioning off, and the pairs all day. So we'll stay in the small conference room. It'll be a little snug, but I think we'll all survive. So thanks to Elaine for playing this morning, and for Remo and Carl and Gail and Debbie all being here, especially Debbie and the other women who provide the refreshments. I encourage you to go back and help yourself to those. I'm going to take my vestments off and join you shortly, and we should be able to have time to visit a bit before we start.